Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
How's it going?
It's going great. Episode 66 is finally here.
Wow. And I think...
Still en route.
Yeah, and... Very nice. And it's... I believe this is our sixth guest in a row.
Wait, does that make this episode 666?
Oh, you know, and numerologically, it's also kind of an auspicious day. It's at least... In the United States, where we do the month first, it's 11/12/13.
And it's 7:41 p.m., so I don't know what that means.
But yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that math works out. But it's a spooky podcast.
Well, as we alluded to earlier, we have a guest. So we'd like to give a warm, not a thing podcast welcome to Chris Collins.
Hey, it's not a thing.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, gents. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, you know, it's cool. Chris and I actually know each other from way, way back. Do you remember when we first met?
You were wearing a hat. I recall very clearly. It was... The previous millennium. It was late 1990s, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm mostly sure that I met you the first day I went to the radio station at Cal Poly, which was like the day of the new hire or new radio DJ applications, and I was actually like something like 3 hours late for turning stuff in, and they didn't let me in fall quarter. I guess it was too full or whatever. What? So I joined winter quarter.
Oh,
but
who is this Alan that shows up late for things? I don't what? Who is? I don't understand.
Yeah. Anyway, but the funny thing is you also administered my trial by fire.
If really?
You remember that? Yeah.
I you were just one of the many coming through. The plebes we were indoctrinating.
Right. So at KCPR, after you took your quarter of kind of classes and kind of shadowing another DJ, at the end of that quarter, you did an hour by yourself in the middle of the night, like at, I think it was like 1 or something like that. And then... one of the DJs would kind of critique your how you handled yourself over the show. So I think I did okay.
Oh, to still have that tape. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I might.
Really?
I have to look around. Awesome. I might have that tape.
That's I love radio.
I love radio too. That's why we're kind of doing this.
You were great. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you. No, actually, I think one of the fun things that I did was I think I filled in for you for a quarter for, I forget what it was called. It wasn't Talk of the Town, or was it? It was like did a talk show.
That was one of the shows I did. Sure, Talk of the Town was you filled in for me, really?
I think for maybe it was just a week. I remember interviewing some city planner guy from San Luis Obispo.
I was a failed computer science student and gravitated towards poli sci, and I loved being active in the community, and I became a part of the show Talk of the Town, and I really just wanted to have it be an activist forum and engage in the community, and my co-hosts weren't so up for that. They wanted a backbeat over all the guests we were interviewing, and hopefully something a little more fun. Eh.
College ideals. Well, when I remember doing it, I took over with Milos, and this was like every other week when there wasn't a city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So there were only like 5 of them that year or whatever, or that quarter. So,
My co-host was the world-famous Katie Marzullo, who's on TV now at the Santa Maria news station, whatever it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a TV personality now.
Is that KVEC?
No, that was the local radio station, wasn't it?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Santa Maria Channel something or other.
Oh.
Local references!
Oh. Well, to bring it to the Bay Area, we had a... Caroline Johnson is a big TV person in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And when we were there, she was on a local station. I used to see her walking around town. Just between us, she's kind of hot.
I think between you and the Bay Area, Chris.
So where in the Bay Area are you? You're stomping around Oakland, is that right?
Yeah, I landed in Oakland about 2000, and I like it a lot, so I've stayed.
It's cool. It definitely has some spots that you know need a little more shine, but it's good overall.
I've always had kind of an underdog appreciation, and there's something to being the second city, or some would say the third or the fourth city in the Bay, that just kind of gives me a sense of, we can do it.
Well,
we
you
work
have an,
harder. We try.
You have a bridge coming into your city, so I think it's a little hardier than maybe, I don't know. San Jose is just huge. I wouldn't... like rank it that high.
Some might use the term monstrosity to describe San Jose as a city.
I've lived in the Bay Area for 15 years and I really don't know where San Jose is. I drive through it kind of. There's this place where there's a couple of tall buildings, but it's huge and I like it's amorphous in a way. Globular, sort of.
Sprawling.
Sprawling.
Right.
Monstrosity.
It's got charm, maybe?
Maybe. It's the downtown is waking up a little bit, although there's not a lot of there.
Hey, you can't say that.
All right.
Oakland okay. Signature phrase.
Yeah.
See, everyone steals from us. So we'll bring this to Earth. Where are you two?
So
well, on
I'm,
the internet, I know, but
I'm broadcasting from the home base in San Jose. The aforementioned blob.
I am broadcasting from my wine country bunker.
Nice.
In Sonoma County.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been doing the distributed podcast for a good almost the last year now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we did maybe 3 months of live and in person once. Maybe not even that many.
Back when we didn't know what we were doing, and now we know what we're doing, but we don't live in the same town. maybe that's getting ahead of myself. I don't know if we know exactly what we're doing, but we're getting better at trying.
So, how do podcasters get feedback?
Well. Internet mostly. Sometimes live. I occasionally do get the one or two bits of live feedback from folks that I meet, but mostly it's I think the most activity is Facebook likes.
Yeah, Facebook likes. I do have a coworker who now critiques every episode live as they're listening to it to me at work.
Does he have a podcast?
No, she does not yet.
Oh.
Oh my god. That would be kind of a rough podcast, maybe.
Years behind, but I'm sort of a podcast fan in a way. It's a wonderful medium. Having loved radio so much and then left it, there was the dark years where there was really nothing, and then podcasting came in, and some of them are really talented. It's good stuff.
And we hope to ride their coattails.
Yeah. Still waiting for that first sponsor.
Hey, go to meeting. They sponsor stuff.
Oh, I can talk to some people to talk to some people. We'll see.
Oh, KCPR days. We had underwriting on the radio, and there was a very controversial adult toys shop that came into the county, and there were people protesting and wanting them ran out of town, and I ended up getting them as my first underwriter on our show. It was lovely. I forget the name of that organization, but
I think it was called Diamond Adult World.
Yeah, Diamond Adult World.
You think, Alan? You think that's what it was called?
It's a small, close-knit community. You just hear things. That's all it is.
Yeah. Which community is that? The radio community or the porn shop community?
So anyway, Chris, what's your thing?
Anyway. What's my thing?
Yeah.
Well, at this moment, I'm looking at a very interesting Chromebook. I bought it for my niece about 2 weeks ago, and she didn't want it because she has an iPad. So I'm stuck with it, and this is like the apex of its functionality is using Hangout. And so there you go. I used to love technology and software and design and programming and hardware and futurism, and I just don't care so much anymore. I like stuff to just kind of work. So this is working. It's cool.
So is it I'm actually somewhat unfamiliar with how the Chromebook operates. So it has some power on its own, but it's essentially relying on Google to do all the major heavy lifting. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really horribly crippled in a lot of ways. And it literally, it's hard to imagine. I mean, people said this, but it's just really hard to imagine. But it is, in fact, a browser. That's all. Can't do anything.
Right.
There's nothing this thing will do but render pages, basically. And so nowadays, that allows you to use Google Docs, kind of, if you want to, or Google Play is a music service, so you can stream stuff. But basically, it's just really bad that way. It's really without merit at all. But it serves the web well. You know.
You can record a podcast,
or participate in one participate that's in recording. One. I'm actually doing the recording.
It's the cheap one too. It's the Acer C7, I think it is, the 710. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is they have these new models that have more memory and bigger screens, and they're better in some way, but Google automatically updates the OS. And so every Chromebook on the planet basically has the same operating system, it's the same thing. So why one would need more memory, or I don't understand. Because you can't really do anything else more than this thing's doing.
The Emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really want to torrent bad sitcoms, and I can't do it on this thing. So how does one watch Two Broke Girls? You can't do it.
You go to CBS.com and click watch full episodes.
good point. My buddy's... an old friend from San Luis Obispo is an advocate for online music. Rob Kay, he's a wonderful man, and I worried about pirating stuff a long time ago, and I asked people's opinions on it, and he argued very eloquently, I thought, that as long as you can push a single button and get what you want for free, you shouldn't reward the companies that are demanding of you to take several steps and have it be complex and difficult to get the same thing and pay for it. I mean, he would willingly pay for the content, but it simply must be equal in ease to getting it from clicking one button on the torrent. And that kind of makes sense. You know, I'm not why I want to pay the artist for their work, but the companies that are trying to provide this to me are doing such a poor job of maintaining the security around it and the difficulty in accessing material. Why in the world would I want to support them for doing that so poorly when I can just click here and get, you know, what I want? And of course it's selfish because I am not paying for it, the pirated material that I use, but until they can provide it to me, you know, equally, since I'm paying for it, why would I support that? It's a philosophy. It's probably full of holes, but that's
what would you say that the iTunes model is successful then?
I hate iTunes. I was playing with a MacBook for about 6 months, and I had it on my PC for a while too. It's such a, successful was your question, of course.
Yes.
Making millions off it, but superior, no.
No, I as a music player, I really dislike it. But as a store and marketplace, I think.
You know, I'm so opposed to the constraints on searching and viewing and identifying what's available. They provide content in droves, which is admirable, but just it feels I'm so handicapped to really seek and identify exactly what I want and what's available. It feels like it must be presented to me in their methodology, and I can choose whatever they're providing to me, but I can't just go get what I want.
Sure.
And it's, you know, operator error, I'm sure, but it's I've put dozens and dozens of hours into it, and I still don't feel I've been able to just get exactly what I want when I want. Like
that sounds
I can
like
in
Apple.
Other forms.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of sound kind of crummy. Have you ever used Bandcamp?
Oh, Alan. You went to Bandcamp, didn't you? I've heard of it. No, I haven't used it.
Okay.
But seriously, you went to Bandcamp in high school, right? Come on.
Anyway, the if you go to Bandcamp, I just like it because it seems a much more direct like stream for I'm an artist, let me set up a page, you know, very easily set it up, and you can have stuff so people can listen to and buy pretty easily. I don't know how the fee structure works or if it's better than iTunes as a deal or anything, but it seems more artist friendly, which I generally tend to support.
Mm-hmm. Good. No, I haven't used it. What do you two think of Flatter?
Ooh, I don't know that one.
I'm not familiar with Flatter, but I'm a big fan of flattery.
You look great on your little picture. Like the mug and nice hair. The red mug. Flatter, I think the Pirate Bay dude, Swedish dude, developed the software. And you go to Wikipedia and look it up, Flattr.
Okay.
What it is you give money to people who are providing you things based on whatever value you want, whatever you wish to give. So an artist offers whatever they're creating, and they have a Flatter button, and you can, if you like what they're doing, you click Flatter, and you can give them some value. So, and you can, people can give you money for whatever you provide, too. You have a Flatter button on your content, on your blog or music page or whatever you do. So people can just freely give you however much they want based on how much they value whatever you're providing. And there's kind of a mechanism towards balanced out where you, you know, you kind of, like, you have to give your value over a certain amount of time. So it's not like you have to provide value to start to be involved in Flatter. So you give, you know, you have $10 of Flatter value, and you give away $10 to various content providers over an amount of time based on if you like what they're doing or you don't like what they're doing. And if you're creating content, people are, if they like what you're doing, they're giving you value too. So you can potentially make money that way if you're a big content provider of some sort or another. Ooh. It's egalitarian and based on the user's perceived value of whatever you're providing. That's kind of overwhelming, isn't
great.
It?
Yeah.
Does any of it make sense?
It's about four or five
years old, and nobody does it. But I mean, there's probably a small community. You can I blogged about a year ago, probably, and on my blog page, you can go there and flatter me if you want. I won't give the URL. You can look it up yourself.
Our podcast could use some flattery.
Put a flatter button on your page.
No, it sounds like I've seen things implemented like that, like, you know, PayPal tip jar, but it seems more creator focused. Like you have to, it sounds like you have to create stuff in order to also give, or am I misreading that?
No, you don't have to create stuff to give. Though, if you give whenever you're taking content from someone in that has Flutter, you know, on their page or wherever, so you don't actually have to receive money. You don't have to provide content. You can give to whomever you want, and you can also get if you do create content. Your podcast is a brilliant example. Yeah. Someone could listen. They could listen to your podcast, like it, click the Flutter button, and say, "I want them to have $3." You know, and boom, you have $3 in your Flutter account.
Sounds kind of like internet busking. I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a thing to me.
Yeah. You can do your podcast at the BART station. So a big Flutter button.
I've heard a lot of podcasts at BART stations with just dudes yelling to the air.
Is that their MacBook Air?
No.
Anyway.
You know, the air, whatever, the trash can, some other BART rider.
Yeah.
It's the best podcast.
I went to the city for Halloween. It was fun. I don't go over. How do you like observations of San Francisco from an Oaklander?
That's a thing. I think that's cool. Yeah,
oh, definitely.
So, let me give a shout out, to use a very tired 80s cliche, to my grandpa, who passed away about 10 years ago, was a lifelong member of the Elks, right? What are fraternal organizations? And so passe. And anyway, it's a part of my childhood seeing my grandmother complain to my grandfather about, "You're always at the Elks Club. Why don't you come home?" And he always was at the Elks Club, and he loved it. Anyway, a friend of mine joined the San Francisco Lodge, and he invited me on Friday night to the lodge for dinner, and it rocked. It was awesome. It was great. It was an amazing thing. Like some 100-year-old building, purpose built for the Elks Lodge, and about half a block from Union Square, and it's, you have to sign in, it's a club, and it's all these kind of old semi-ratty deco stuff, and just people have been drinking, smoking, and talking smack in that room for 100 years, and it was lovely. It was just a wonderful thing. It made me feel very grown up. They have 100-year-old pool tables, there's a huge swimming pool, massive gyms. Oh, the best part is they had a cardio room and a weight room. And in the cardio room, they had a soda machine, Bud Light, Coors, pop $2 in the, you know, doing your treadmill, walk over, grab a Coors Light.
I think my grandfather was an Elk. I should get in on that action.
They rock. It was amazing. I'd never really been in one before. And it just, I felt good to be in there. Good food. They, dude, I've always wanted to do this, but I've never quite had the means. But he just said, "Around for the house." Some guy just bought a round of drinks for everyone in the whole bar.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like a cool thing to do? Like, everybody's drinking, and then, like, yay! Until you realize they're all, like, picking the, you know, $100 whiskeys or whatever.
I had a nice bourbon.
No, you do it on a dollar PBR night.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, are you really doing people a favor if you buy them a round of PBR?
Yeah, I'll have beer. Let's talk about beer.
Sure.
No, but I also went to the Flaming Lips show at the Civic Center on Halloween, and that was the last two trips to San Francisco were both pretty adventurous.
Yeah, that sounds great. That was probably an awesome show.
I'd never seen them before, and I really wanted to see the opening band, but we missed him. So I was a little upset about that, but pretty damn awesome. Everyone was dressed up, and the only ones dressed up even more were all the Wayne on stage, and it was kind of the name of it was the Bucket of Bloods tour, so he came out in a wedding dress, full carry, and just had like a huge, several buckets of blood poured over him, and he just, it was a spectacle. I don't go out to live music enough anymore, so when I do, I really want it to be kind of a peak experience.
Yeah.
Well, you should go check out who's playing at the Fox Theater in Oakland. It's a pretty good venue.
Yeah, I have been there. I've been there, I think, maybe two or three times. It was a homeless camp 10 years ago.
Well, they've restored it.
It had been
shut
down for like 30 years. Yeah, I know. It's a magnificent place now. I work about a block from there. I work in downtown Oakland. We're coming up.
Yeah, I have a shirt that is, it says, I hella love Oakland, but the love is the Fox logo, the red Fox logo.
Nice.
Yeah, we should go see a show.
Yeah. Yeah, so you commute to and from said workplace by bike, if I'm remembering correctly.
It's better than that, Alan.
Oh, is it? We had this conversation I think I saw you in person last, but it's better than that?
It is better than that. I moved about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And this year, Oakland introduced they call it the B, the free Broadway shuttle that runs up and down Broadway every 12 minutes.
Okay.
And the Terminus is about a block from my house. Runs every 12 minutes. I walk on the free shuttle, and it goes a mile and stops about 2 blocks from my work.
Nice.
That is sweet. I use that stupid radio app and just plug in and listen to music. And I have to be at work at 8 in the morning, typically. It's the federal government, so they're a little, can be punctual. And I could actually catch the 7:48 shuttle and be at my desk at 8 o'clock. I can leave my house at 7:43 and be at work at 8 o'clock.
That type of commute is definitely a thing. As is public transit like that. We've said it 1,000 times.
Oh,
public
wow.
Transit, definitely a thing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not a thing in San Jose.
No, it's not. San Jose is the worst for that.
You have been a bicycling pioneer, though, haven't you, Alan?
I wouldn't say a pioneer, but definitely. Well, I mean, bicycling, yes, but not bicycling commuting. I don't. I've only ridden to work on days when I didn't have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
When I think to do that during commute hours would be taking too much of my life in my hands.
I don't trust you enough to do that, Alan. You shouldn't put your life in your own hands.
Put somebody else's life in your hands. Easier that way.
Put your life in Julie's hands. Let her drive.
Actually, yeah, when the carpooling works, it works out that way sometimes.
That's good. Commuting is really kind of rot in our society. You may both do it daily, and everyone does, but I don't know why. It just feels so wrong. Like, I'm just going to spend 2 hours of my day sitting here by myself in this car, just because I have to.
Well, if you have to be in a car, it's awful, in my opinion. I think if you can be on a bus or a train, where at least you're not cursing the traffic directly, I think it's a little better. Like I just went up to the city on Tuesday, and I took the Caltrain, and it was great. I could have worked the entire way up. I decided to read a comic book.
Oh.
It was nice.
Hey, they have the new smart train, right, from Sonoma to somewhere, Marin City or something like that? Brendan, are you excited about the new train?
They say that's a thing. I have yet to believe them.
Where does that
I've
go?
I've been hearing about that smart train for years.
It's supposed to go, for, I think, from Sonoma down to, like, what, the terminal down there. That'll get you right to San Francisco.
Yeah, I heard Tiburon, that actually it's going to be going to San Rafael because they don't want it to bypass San Rafael and go straight to Larkspur, which would, you know, make sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, to where the ferry is?
Yes. No, they want you to go, they're going to build it in San Rafael, so you have to take a shuttle from San Rafael to Larkspur.
Mm.
So that you don't kill all the businesses in San Rafael.
Let's make it non-functional.
Yeah, I'd rather have convenience than have San Rafael.
I love public transportation. The least functional public transportation on the planet Earth, the Las Vegas monorail. Have you ever taken anything?
Any trouble I had on it, I blamed on being inebriated, but I don't know.
I have ridden this monorail, yes.
Just like the idea of let's get people from point A to point B quickly and efficiently is something every casino owner said, no.
Right.
No, we don't want that. let's make them walk and get lost in our casino.
Right.
Okay.
Well, how else are they supposed to throw those little porn cards at you if you're on a... if you're on the monorail? There's all those people on the streets that throw those things at you.
They have porn cards?
Wait.
I gotta go.
When was the last time you went to Vegas?
I want to go. It's been years. 4 years, maybe? 3 or 4 years ago?
I feel like they had them 4 years ago. If you're walking down Las Vegas Boulevard. Blah, wow.
The Strip.
Las Vegas
Las
Boulevard.
Vegas Boulevard.
They're just people. And at least when I went with my folks, it was kind of hilarious because they had bought a house kind of nearby and were trying to make it into a rental. They've since sold it, but when we were out there, you know, we're walking to dinner from wherever we were staying, and there are people with like business card size little advertisements for whatever, and they kind of will, they have this motion where they snap it against the pack of them that they have in their other hand, and you kind of look, and then they shove it into your face, and you have to pretty much take it to get them out of you, and you kind of take it, and you continue walking a little bit, and you look, and it's like, oh, here's a mostly naked lady advertising this thing. Okay, great.
Which, if you're looking for a prostitute, that's very convenient. But like most people, you're not. It's annoying
and somewhat embarrassing when your parents are with you.
I didn't know there was a sleazy way to hand out a business card, but they have perfected that.
It's kind of a sociological. Yeah, they've perfected a lot of stuff there. The
yard-long margaritas.
Kids, mixed CDs, right? They have their homemade CDs, and you're walking down the street, and you see them saying, hey, want to buy a CD, want to buy a CD, want to buy a CD? And then I walk past them, and they just kind of look at me, and they don't say anything. It's like, wait, what? Aren't you going to ask me if I want to buy your CD? No, I'm not going to waste my time asking you. It's like, hey, I want a porn card. No. I gotta go to someone else. What? I gotta go.
Yes, let me know. I think that should be a thing. We should do a podcast in Vegas.
Yes. I approve. That's a thing.
It's not a thing. I
think the Bellagio Fountain Show will work great on the podcast.
Any and all magic shows will work, make for good broadcasting. For
sure. Or a spin-off buffet cast, where we try all the 5-star buffets.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Keen. So what are you riding, when you do ride, what are you riding right now?
Well, you know, it's sad that I had a bicycle stolen not too long ago. So, to make chicken soup. Out of that whole situation, I got a brand new bike. And I love it. It's made by Rivendell. And they're a local bicycle place. They make bikes, and they also just sell various parts and things. Really good ethos. Kind of a cult, sort of. I'm a member of their cult a little bit, I'd say. That's rivbikes.com. Hit the flutter button. But anyway, they have Waterford bikes in Wisconsin, make a lot of the frames for them, and they put them together. They're really innovative, and their theme is the Unracer. They think that as a marketing tool, 20, 30 years ago, as bicycling companies decided that showing Lance and Lycra pedaling real fast on carbon fiber is what gets people into bike stores to buy bikes. But in reality, people, those are very uncomfortable. They don't work well. So they market products that are designed for people who are just riding and they have no interest or desire in racing. And they, you know, going fast is fun or going far is fun, but being practical and comfortable are their main things. And that's me. So I guess it's going on 10 years, but probably 8 or 9 years ago, I just up and sold my last car. I had a city car share pod that opened up down the street from my house at the time, and I thought, all right, I'm gonna try it. I sold the car, used city car share a little bit, and rode my bike everywhere and took a bus and park and stuff like that. And I let my city car share membership lapse after a while, and now I just kind of don't have a car anymore. And I just live without a car. I drive every once in a while. I drive at work, and you know, I get a car every once in a while. But so it's multimodal. I take BART, I ride my bike, I take a bus, I walk, and I just operate without my car. My car, my stuff in my car. It doesn't happen.
See, that sounds cool.
It's scary.
But cool. I mean, I think that makes... That's a mark of a...
idiot. It was a perfectly good car. Come on.
I was going to say better connected city where you can actually do all of those things and get to places where you need to go. I mean...
West of St. Louis, Oakland, San Francisco is about the only place you could do this, I think. Maybe Seattle, I guess, but... No. Really, it's not possible in most places on the West Coast. So that's kind of why I'm here.
Rad. So what's your do you know which chicken and waffles place I should go to?
I only know of two, and I've been to them both.
Oh, okay.
One's kind of nouveau good chicken and waffles, and the other one's kind of like, oh man, I'm a little drunk. It's two. Let's go to chicken and waffles. Those are your two choices.
That's a good set, actually.
That's really good, all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's a place that opened about a year ago on Mandela Parkway in Oakland. And I think it's called Brown Sugar Cafe.
Brown Sugar Kitchen.
Brown Sugar Kitchen, yeah. Sugar.
I'm a huge fan. That's the only place I've been. So.
Yeah, I went there once. It was I met the owner when I was there, and we talked. And there was a cafe, Brendan, in San Luis Obispo called Linnea's, and they had waffles on the weekend in the morning. And it's one of those peak experiences, getting a coffee and a waffle at Linnea's on Sunday morning and sitting out on the back patio. Yeah. And I've been chasing that dragon for years. I just want a good waffle.
The old waffle dragon.
Yep. Just like not too much syrup, just like crisp. And anyway, so the waffles at Brown Sugar Kitchen they're pretty extravagant. They were good, don't get me wrong, but they aren't the simple, they're just, it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
And the other one is, I always thought this place, right down the street from my house, I always thought it was Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, but I guess that's a big chain. And I looked at it very closely, and I believe the name of the restaurant is Home of Chicken and Waffles. Like, they took the name out, and they just call it, it should be like Allen's Home of Chicken and Waffles. It's just Home of Chicken and Waffles.
Okay.
That's the name of the restaurant, I think. Jack London Square. Broadway and Jack London Square. 2 o'clock, you're a little drunk, it'll be packed, and you'll love it.
Sounds good. Sounds really good, actually.
Come on down.
Cool. Well, it has been, wow, it's already been like 40-ish minutes. So I wanted to make sure if there was anything, I don't know, is there anything you wanted to promote or places where people can find you on the internet? Do you want people to find you on the internet?
Oh. Other than the NSA.
Well,
actually, I think it was really funny because we emailed back and forth just before the show a little bit, and in the list of kind of interests you had, it was like I like biking, I like this, and I like security, and security was in quotes.
It's just an illusion. Snowden for president. Yeah, no. If you're in the city of San Francisco, join the Elks Lodge Number 3. Girls, that was pretty awesome. I like to support that. And I'm a huge fan of RivBikes.com. Grant Peterson owns it. He's a bon vivant iconoclast, and his products are Rivendell is the best bicycling company in the world. So there you go. Come to Oakland, take the free shuttle, and give me a call sometime.
Right on.
You'll find
no,
me
I just
on,
want,
on.
I want to go get drunk and ride some public transportation to get some chicken and waffles.
Stumbling distance from my house. Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on, gents. And I'll look for me in the comments section of your page.
We will like do crazy. That.
Very cool.
Thank you so much.
Chris, thank you for being on. We'll probably have to have you on again. Most likely, actually. And we'll definitely have to meet in person. We'll get some chicken and waffles or go to Vegas or some combination of the two.
Business idea.
Oakland has an airport you can fly out of. And if you're going to pregame for Vegas, chicken and waffles, that's what I'm saying.
I think I've actually done that before.
Awesome.
All right, gents. Have a good podcast.
Sounds good. Brendan, I will talk to you next week, unless there's anything else you wanted to knock into?
No.
No? Okay. Right on.
Until next time.
See you later.
Good night.